Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the announcement that KBC Bank is in advanced talks to sell its performing loans and deposits to the Bank of Ireland came as a surprise this morning. If that sale goes ahead, it will pave the way for KBC to exit the market here. This is a development that comes, of course, just 2 months after NatWest decided to put Ulster Bank into an orderly wind down. Well, I'm joined now by Ed Sibley, Deputy Governor, Prudential Regulation of the Central Bank. And Ed, thank you very much for joining us this morning,
this evening.
As I say, the public only found out about the possibility of KBC selling performing loans and assets to Bank of Ireland this morning, and we heard the Finance Minister was aware that this might be happening earlier in the week, but he was only officially informed last night. How long has the Central Bank known about it?
Well, I mean, clearly it's been a difficult and worrying day for the staff of KBC, and as you say, a surprise for customers and others. So I do appreciate the concerns that we've heard through the day. We would have been engaged with both banks over the last number of weeks about the potential for this transaction. Certainly, there was we are aware of discussions, but I think that those discussions moved at a kind of reasonable degree of pace. But there was no decision taken by either bank until last night, when the Bank of Ireland and KBC boards decided to formally progress to an MOU stage.
Pascal Donoghue, speaking today, said that the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission must approve this sale to Bank of Ireland if it does go ahead, if it is agreed between both parties. So the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission must approve it. What about the Central Bank? Does the sale require authorisation from the Central Bank?
Certainly not directly in the same way as is required, but from the competition authority perspective. I mean, we are very focused on ensuring that the KBC, in particular, if the transaction does go ahead, protects and continues to treat its customers fairly as the transaction progresses. Clearly, we have a role to play in terms of the kind of safety and soundness of both banks in respect of kind of the ongoing business and the transaction itself, and we do have specific requirements in place that we expect both banks to comply with in terms of the treatment of customers through the any potential change.
You also do have a concern around competitive issues, though, don't you? You said in your statement today that competitive pressures can clearly have an effect on the functioning of the financial system and the achievement of the central bank's aim for that to sustainably serve the needs of the people and the businesses of Ireland. Now, if that is your aim, that the financial system serves the needs of the people, do you think that the sale of KBC loans to Bank of Ireland, reducing competition in the market, will serve the needs of the people?
So, as we said in the statement earlier, there clearly is a kind of some potential negative consequences from a competition perspective, and that then kind of necessarily potentially has impacts in terms of the functioning of the wider market. We are kind of very focused on seeking to ensure that the financial system does serve the needs of the economy, of the households and businesses of Ireland. One of the things I think that is important is that we do focus not just on what's happening with the retail banks themselves, but think about the kind of the services, the kind of banking services that that the country needs. And what we can see has happened over the last 5 years or so, and in kind of an accelerating way, is a degree of kind of those services being provided, but also by other players. So, if we think about the kind of what's happening in terms of kind of payments in Ireland and beyond, the kind of the growth of kind of companies, the likes of Revolut. And then also think
yeah,
about
we might get to that. We might get to that in a second, Ed, if you don't mind, if we have time. But just specifically around the issue of competition, which is what everybody is concerned about today, and we've had so many texts from people about it who are so concerned now that we already have the highest interest rates when it comes to mortgages in Europe, and this surely can only make that trend go in one direction. If the central bank decides that this is bad for competition and therefore bad for the needs of the people in Ireland. Can it stop this deal going through? Does it have that power?
So from a competition perspective, I think it's important to emphasise that is the role of the CCPC. What I was going to say is that there are a kind of a range of providers, including the likes of credit unions, that play an important role in the provision of banking services. But I absolutely do agree with you that there is a kind of some challenges here in terms of competition in the Irish retail banking market.
So just to be clear, do you have the power?
So important.
Sorry to interrupt you. Just to be clear, do you have the power to stop this deal?
That's not from a competition perspective. So I mean, we're very much kind of focused on the continued kind of safety and soundness in terms of the operation of the banking system and the individual banks within it. But we don't have the power to kind of step in from a competition.
Okay. Can I talk to you then about why this is happening? Because it's not the first bank to leave over the last 10 years. Many have fled the market now for different reasons, of course. But one of the reasons that has been cited again and again in terms of the problem with the Irish banking system is the capital requirements laid down by the ECB. Irish banks required to provide, I think, 3 times the rate of other countries in Europe. Paul Stanley saying that those high levels of capital, sorry, Paul Stanley being the Ulster Bank chief financial officer, he said those high levels of capital that Irish banks must hold compared to the UK or countries within the EU had a negative impact on the company's returns. Do you agree that those capital requirements for banks in Ireland is causing a problem?
So I think there's a kind of there's an overstatement here in terms of the impact, but there are absolutely, but because of the nature of the kind of risks in lending in Ireland, there are a degree kind of higher capital requirements for writing business in Ireland. But I would emphasise that we're operating to European rules and that are supervised in line with kind of European system of supervision. And in the case of KBC, there's a singular team responsible for the supervision of the KBC group. So there's a kind of consistency in the application of those rules. So it really comes down to kind of how the risks of the underlying business impact on capital. Mm. But what I would also say, and this is, I mean, there are kind of negative kind of associations with this, is that the margins, the kind of interest rate which you refer to, it kind of more than compensates for any kind of additional capital that would have to be held in Ireland.
So the currency has taken a look at this today. They've just taken a look at one of the particular examples that you could take, and they've taken a look at a €500,000 mortgage loan. And they say if Bank of Ireland was to take on a €500,000 mortgage loan, or to give out a €500,000 mortgage loan to somebody, they can make a profit of 11% because of those capital requirements, while a Dutch bank can make a profit of 30% on the same loan. That's their figures. That's how they're working it out. And they're making the point very strongly that capital requirements are causing a massive problem in terms of keeping banks here in Ireland. They say the ECB knows it's a problem, but they say that they're urging banks to merge, to become bigger and more efficient rather than relax those rules.
So I haven't seen the specific article in the currency. There clearly are some implications for holding more capital in terms of the return on equity. But what I would also say, in particular connections with this potential transaction, is any mortgages that are transferred from KBC to Bank of Ireland, if they do transfer, will be subject to the same capital rules, kind of same requirement to hold capital. So what's attractive from a Bank of Ireland perspective and potentially less attractive from a KBC perspective, that's not about capital, that's more likely about issues of scale and other cost challenges.
Yeah, no, sorry, the point kind of is issue. That it appears the reason Ulster Bank and potentially KBC are leaving is because it's not profitable to be here. And it's not profitable to be here, apparently, according to all the financial experts who are writing about this, largely because of those capital requirements laid down by the ECB. Now, we were speaking to the Minister for Housing about this earlier in the programme, and he said it's a matter for the central bank to deal with this, to request a reduction if they deem it necessary in the capital requirements. Has the central bank made any such request to the ECB or discussed this at all with the ECB?
So I think it's really important to understand why banks are required to hold capital at all, which is to make sure that they're sufficiently resilient to withstand to shocks and can continue to support economic activity, businesses and households through the type of shock that we're experiencing at the moment. What we've seen through the pandemic is the banks operating in Ireland have been able to continue to provide service because they have a greater degree of resilience than they did leading up to the financial crisis. Yeah. We operate to a system of European rules where there is a very high degree of consistency in terms of how those rules are applied through supervision.
I'm just out of time with this. Can I just ask you the question again? Has the central bank made any request to the ECB in relation to this? Had any discussion with the ECB about the capital requirements being held by Irish banks? So
we have lots of conversations because we're part of the European system of supervision, but we have made no requests to have capital reduced in Ireland in any way that is inconsistent with the rules that we all operate to. And as I said, I emphasise the importance of the capital in place being kind of ensuring that the system can deal with kind of both the good times and the stress times.
Very, very briefly, can you tell us why Irish customers can't access mortgages from European banks?
This goes back to kind of underlying question about the functioning of the market here and the risks associated with writing business in Ireland. So there is very little to no barriers to entry for a bank operating in Europe to write mortgages in Ireland. They obviously have to choose to do so, and there is at least one entity that's kind of recently entered the market in that way. Ireland's a relatively small market compared to others. There are also significant risks with writing business in Ireland that may be different to elsewhere, which potentially is a dampener in terms of appetite for other banks to do so.
All right, Ed Sibley, it is a complicated conversation. We'd love to discuss it with you in more detail. We may hopefully speak to you again on the show, but thank you very much for your time this evening. That's Ed Sibley, Deputy Governor, Prudential Regulation of the Central Bank.